Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest, let's bring him in now, Jim.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Yeah, Jim Carafano joins us now at JJ Carafano on Twitter, also at Heritage. Jim, good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, I'm just thinking about you in that big chair.
Yeah, I know. You said my chair's not that big. How do you know? Well, you've been here, right?
Been there, man.
Yeah, you've been there,
done that.
You've been there, done that. So, Jim, you know, this is all political, right? It's all political theater with impeachment. But the backdrop of it, there is a foreign policy connection here. And, you know, I thought I'd ask you about that, about the foreign policy aspect of this. Are we going to see, Jim, when the Republicans finally get an opportunity to present their case, which will be the first time, right, in this entire ordeal that the Republicans at this point, right, have just been responding, objecting, rebutting. They're going to put on a case. And, Jim, is it going to be that, look, the Democrats just don't like presidents' positions on foreign policy, especially with the Ukraine?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their strategy is going to be. What you just said is true. I mean, this started because Colonel Vindman, who is a staffer in the National Security Council, didn't like the president's foreign policy. And he and his brother, who are also in the National Security Council, gathered information. They gave it to somebody who did a report, which was then claimed to be a whistleblower report, and that's what started this process. And I get that part, which is actually, I think, a violation of the oath you have taken, a tremendous disservice to how government should work, to deliberately try to sabotage the decisions of your superiors, particularly for people in uniform. I don't know if they intentionally then said, oh, well, then somebody in Congress will pick this up and impeach the president. But that's what happened, I think. I mean, I think it's more likely it's kind of like found gold. Somebody walked by and said, look, there's a $20 bill on the sidewalk. And so, you know, if the president's critics in Congress had waited even 24, 48 hours and read the transcript before they started on the impeachment path, they would have said, okay, there's nothing. There's no there.
And Jim, after nearly, well, we're going to enter our third day. They had one day of arguing about process, 2 days of the Democrats putting on their opening statement. I don't know, Jim, if you've watched much of this, read about it, been following it. Have we learned anything new is my question to you this week?
Well, I mean, I not personally, because I do foreign policy, I don't do stupid. But the people that do follow it at Heritage tell me no.
Okay.
We haven't learned anything new. And if you look, and I do look, you know, how is it affecting public opinion here at home? How globally are people? And the reality is doesn't seem to be moving the needle at all. I was talking with some folks from a foreign country where Trump is enormously controversial. And it's the mirror image over there. The people that hate him, hate him. The people that like him. And this isn't moving anybody's opinion anywhere.
Let's talk about something foreign. Let's talk about Davos. Jim, would you tell people what the heck Davos is? I mean, to me, it seems like it's this gathering of uber wealthy people who have done really well based on free market capitalism, but they're complaining about free market capitalism because they think socialism might be better and climate change, right?
Davos. I thought that was a Sith Lord.
it might be. What happens in Davos, Jim? What do they do every year there?
The value of, like most of these big power conference things, whether it's the G7 or blah, blah, it's not the conference per se that means anything. It really is the sidebar conversations that leaders have. In Davos, there's the commercial leaders from all over the world. there's probably a lot of business that gets done at Davos. It's mm-hmm. nothing to do with the actual event itself. But I think that's true for the president. The president had some valuable bilateral meetings. We met with the Iraqi leader, Pakistan, talking a lot about the negotiations in Afghanistan. He had some commercial meetings. So it was probably a very effective meeting, but the conference itself is just pure theater.
Jim, we were supposed to be in World War III by now with the, I guess, by the Iranians. What happened there, Jim? Where did it all go?
I wish.
Where's the thanks from the media for President Trump avoiding World War III?
I wish I'd had a list, like I'd kept a list of every time Trump was going to lead us into World War III, because now we'd be running out of Roman numerals by now if this happened. And the reality is none of this turns out to be. Remember the president? We couldn't let the president meet with Putin because we couldn't trust him he might give away classified intelligence. My favorite one is, remember when we attacked the president because he was racist? Because we were basically starving the people of Puerto Rico after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have story after story demonstrating the malfeasance and the incompetence of the Puerto Rican government. And has anybody gone back and apologized to the president of the United States for essentially calling him a racist when the reality was it really was an incompetent government in Puerto Rico, as the president had said? I think everybody gets this except the people that are doing this. They just move on to the next outrage, and they think people just forget that they were wrong 47,000 times. And I think the reality is people have really caught on to this. And again, you go back and again, I'm not partisan and I'm not political, but I look at the numbers because you have to understand how much support does a president have, and his support levels are so resilient, and they're not because people are fanatical. They're because people look at the guy and say he's actually doing half decent stuff. And I think the criticisms are just not working. I do think, ironically, and I see this globally as well, that perversely, I think impeachment has actually strengthened the president's hand. Mm-hmm. It's made him look it's made the political opposition look feckless and weak. Mm-hmm. I think even internationally, people say, oh, my God, this guy is – look, even the political opponents can't take this guy down.
Yeah, Joe Biden basically had to admit that this week. He made a comment to the same effect of exactly what you just said. Before I let you go, last thing, this coronavirus, is the media – is this another – you know, like the bird flu, whatever? Are they blowing this out of proportion? Do we need to be – what do we Americans need to be worried about here? Should we be doing something? Should we not be doing something?
I actually think it ties back to impeachment. And I think the presumption going into this from the media was this was going to be the all-consuming story that everybody was going to be glued to their television sets. And the reality is nobody really wants to watch this. And so literally now they are scrambling around trying to find stories to hype and talk about to get eyeballs on something because nobody will watch impeachment. And
right.
So things that normally actually wouldn't gather much attention because they're just so desperate to get something to get people to go to their television sets that they kind of overhype stuff. And I think this is quite frankly one of them.
Yeah, it's been a ratings fail for them. Impeachment has, that's for sure. Jim, great to talk to you. As always, you have a great weekend, my friend.
You have fun in that big chair.
In my big chair. Yeah, you're jealous of my big chair, I know. Yeah.
If you take all the cushions and pillows off, it's really not that big.
Oh, man, I tell you what. There's something about my height in there somewhere, I think. Hey, Jim, you have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon. You be good.
Right, thanks, my friend. Bye.
Yeah, JJ Carafano on Heritage. Always bringing the fun, bringing the heat. Jim Carafano. Hey, we got lots more shows right here. We'll take your phone calls, too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.